Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Froth. A place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable. A spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband, Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife, Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is...
The Froth. Yesterday's non-news today.
This week's podcast was recorded in our basement in London. Our special guest is Lloyd Langford, who joins us remotely from Australia, and Barry is producing.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week. Good morning, Vidal Sassoon. Special guest Lloyd Langford leaves the hairdresser looking like he stepped straight out of the Vietnam War. Former EastEnders star Nick Berry in really shit low budget lockdown Aladdin remake. Nick Berry goes to the tip carrying an old lamp.
Was that meant to be the
EastEnders theme?
EastEnders.
Former EastEnders star Nick Berry.
That's better.
And really shit low budget lockdown Aladdin remake. See? Nick Berry goes to the tip carrying an old lamp.
Right.
Let me get the music in my head. Like, here comes the gig. Here comes the gig. Do you want it or f***ing what? Rod gets really aggressive offer to do a gig at some random bloke's wedding in the lobby of a travel lodge in the middle of the night.
So, what, the wedding was in a lobby of the travel
lodge? Oh, you know very well. We've recorded the episode, the really aggressive offer, where the random bloke was made in the lobby of the travel lodge in the middle of the night. The wedding, I have no idea, because I didn't do it. Surprise, surprise. Spoiler alert. You say potato, I say human toe. Let's call the whole thing off. And then call the police out to investigate the mystery of the toe that turns out to be a potato. A woman calls police when she finds a human toe in a field. But yes, you guessed it. It was a potato.
I don't think anyone would guess what the heck you're talking about.
I don't really know. I think I've lost it a bit. All right, this will get it back. This headline will get it back. How fit is that baby in the paper?
Woof, woof.
Look, that's a baby, not a dog.
Gurgle, gurgle.
What? Gurgle, gurgle.
What does the baby do?
So much about kids, you know. Gurgle, gurgle. How fit is that baby in the paper? Lloyd's local paper holds fit baby competition. Weird. And those are the headlines. Before we get Mr. Lloyd, a.k.a. Lloyd Langford, on as our special guest, all the way from Melbourne, Australia, let's have a look at the social media, I suppose.
We've had another email.
We had one, didn't we?
New feature idea.
All right.
Good afternoon, Sean, Rosie and Rod.
Good afternoon.
This is from a Mike G.
Okay.
Right? I am really enjoying the podcast. And as a long-time listener from the Radio Wales days, brackets, I once vented my spleen to you over the grammatically incorrect way each episode was introduced while I was overjoyed. Which I was overjoyed was eventually put right. Close brackets. Do you remember this?
It rings a bell, it does.
I am very happy to see the person in her own right has become a full-time addition. That's me. Anyway.
I can't remember. Does he elaborate?
He doesn't. No, he doesn't.
It does ring a bell.
I know. Anyway, I shan't bore you with any more niceties, as I can hear Rod saying, "Get on with it," and sighing extravagantly as it is.
Well, he's wrong, actually, because I hadn't started yet.
Oh, you've already done that a lot today.
No, I've been it.
My idea for a new feature is frothing at the mouth.
We've launched that one.
Have you?
Not sure.
Which is where you get blamed or admonished for something you haven't done. Or didn't mean to do. A scrape, if you will.
A scrape, if you will.
Right?
Okay, has he got an example?
I once got accused of stealing a job lot of microwaves from a campsite when I was 14, when all I wanted to do was buy some bourbons.
Some bourbons?
Bourbons.
What, biscuits?
Yeah.
Right.
I would be intrigued to hear what similarly awkward situations...
Why, you can't just let that story... I was 14. Who's going to accuse a 14... Looking around the room going, come on, who is it? Who's taking a lorry load of microwaves?
From a campsite?
Little Timmy. How old are you, 40? You,
Mike G.
You.
Huh? His name is Mike G. Mike G's probably changed his name.
G's
but
a
now.
Gangster. Well, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't point the finger at a 14-year-old boy.
What?
There's a load of microwaves gone missing. You're not going to think of a 14-year-old, do you?
Probably.
Why would a 14-year-old
Well, you worked in Currys, Gareth.
Yeah, I know, but have you had, not, I wasn't 14.
Have you had any experience with 14-year-old boys stealing microwaves?
No, nobody has. It's not what 14-year-old boys do, is it? Steal microwaves.
No?
No.
What do they do?
What do they do with them?
I don't know. Show off. You could give them as gifts. You could give them to lovers.
I'm going to start signing a minute.
Okay. I would be intrigued to hear what similarly awkward situations your other listeners may have got into.
Well, I'd be intrigued to hear just the end of your own story, mate.
I want him to tell us more details.
Yeah, well, I want to know what happened.
All the best.
Why did they blame him, a 14-year-old? Mikey G, get back in touch, big man.
Yeah, let us know what happened.
Yeah, okay. Is that the end of the bloody correspondence?
Yeah.
Right. Good, on with the show. Time now to introduce all the way from Melbourne, Australia, weighing in at about 12 and a half stone. He's had a haircut that makes him look like he's just come back from Vietnam. Shaved all the way up the sides. Fucking hell.
Yeah, you have, Lloyd.
Weird. Lloyd Langford, what have you done to, honestly?
Why have you shaved the sides?
All right, Forrest.
It's called a fade.
What?
It's called a
it's
fade.
It's intentional.
What, there's a name to it.
It's called a fade. Well, is that what they told
I went to go for a haircut, and my normal hairdresser was still on holiday.
Normal hairdresser. And
so my regular barber.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it is
so
different.
I went somewhere else.
I could tell it's not your regular barber. I could see. I could see that. You haven't been to your regular barber.
It's an irregular cut.
I would say you have been marched in to some kind of institutional barber.
With a big
could be
fan.
Army, Navy, somewhere.
With a big fan going on the top, like in Vietnam.
Yeah. I see you.
Sat down.
You've been in Vietnam or somewhere, Cambodia, Laos, something like that maybe.
An institutionalised.
You've been marched in to some kind of correctional facility or something. They've marched you in, sat you down, intense heat, flies buzzing, and they've gone for a militarized, sort of institutionalized, shaved up the sides.
Lloyd, were you given like a pile of sheets to go and make your bed really tidily straight afterwards?
did you have to either shout or sing what you wanted? Like, go, I would like a shot back in the sides.
Did they march you in there, Lloyd?
I'm really short on the sides.
Yeah. Well, I went into the barber's, and the barber was cutting the hair of a 60-year-old Chinese woman who had like a bowl haircut.
Yeah. They, on these bases, they'll have to do everyone. They'll do all the staff. They'll do everyone. Yeah.
And then I said, "Can I get a haircut?" And he sort of looked at me and went, "Yeah, I guess so."
Yeah, that should have been your first alarm bell. That's the first point where you should have turned around. Okay,
Lloyd.
Where's the next alarm bell coming?
That's not Vidal Sassoon. Yeah, I guess so.
Did you say I'll have what she's having?
Well, also, like, he did a bit of shaving, so he had a open razor blade at one point, and I trusted him implicitly. Now I'm thinking that was possibly a mistake.
An open razor blade?
Yeah, and then we had a game of Russian roulette. And then we got the last helicopter out to Saigon. I said to the guy, look, I want number three on the sides. And then we
That's
got into
not a number
bizarre...
three on the sides.
That's not
yeah,
three.
We got into a bizarre sort of haggle where I compromised at 1.5.
What was the haggle? You said, I want a number three, you said. He said, I want to shave you bald all over. And then you met in the middle somewhere.
Why do barbers always want to go shorter than you want to? I've heard this a lot. Is this a thing with men?
It's also 30-odd degrees at the moment, so I'm grateful for it. I think he saw which way the metaphorical wind and actual wind was not blowing,
yeah.
And then was like, you need a shortcut.
Saw which way the metaphorical wind was not blowing, yeah.
He was like, it's too hot for a three. I really enjoy having a stranger touch my head.
Do you?
Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
The sink bit is the best bit.
I don't like what, like in the street or something, or like on a tube,
no.
On a bus. The person behind you on the bus.
You get like a head count. Huh? When you're getting a haircut, when they like take you over to the sink and then start messing around with your scalp, it's really nice.
Massaging.
Oh,
your scalp.
I've had that for years.
Oh, it's so nice.
I used to go to a hairdresser where I got all that. It was like sort of 27 quid a haircut or something. And I realised, hang on a minute, I can get exactly the same haircut, but without that nice bit for like 11 up the road.
Yeah.
Barry,
you can get like Lloyd did, just join the army and got a free one.
Does your hair cost £11?
Yeah.
Wow.
Does it 11? Yeah.
Guess how much women's cost?
13. I normally give them £2 tip. I don't go to 15.
No, God.
Do you know
that's
what
a
the
perm.
That's one of the problems of being in the public eye. You've got to tip big.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, you have to.
I Word once tried. To...
That's why I've always stayed under the radar.
I once tried to tip in our hair. You know, the hairdressers we used to go to like all the time. I once tried to tip there and it went horribly wrong because I'm really bad at it. I'd never done it before. And I was like, oh, God, I should tip the woman who washes my hair.
Well, you don't tip. Well, don't tip everybody. You don't.
No, but
tip
I tipped
individual.
Her because
oh, thanks
she's
for walking
got
me over
the most...
to the sink. Here's a fiver.
No, yeah, well, that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. The woman who walked me over to the sink, I handed her a fiver, and she was like, "What do you want me to do with it?" And it was really uncomfortable. It was like I was trying to pay her off.
But where do you a fiver for walking them to the sink?
Where do you put the tip then?
Well, at the end when you pay, you just say, "And here's a little something
I don't
for my
trust
stylist."
Them. What for? What? So you go and here's a little something for the woman who washed the head.
I don't do that.
You can do. You could do that if you want. Here's a pound for the person who washed my hair. Yeah, you could do that.
I did it on the floor.
You don't hand them a fiver as you're going over.
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable.
I thought I was
Lloyd
being.
Lloyd couldn't tip him at all. He was carrying his rolled up bed and everything.
I was wearing one of those sheets. You know, the gowns. So it takes a while to figure out like where the gap is. So it's like the hand couldn't come out holding a fiver. It was really uncomfortable.
Lloyd was too busy dismantling and putting back together his gum as quick as he could.
I
was too
bed.
Busy jogging on the spot, wouldn't you, lad? Singing, I've got to go, who's prettier than yours.
I thought once at a gig that I was being tipped by an audience member. Actually the gig hadn't happened and I was waiting in the bar to catch a train back to London, and there was a woman there with a guy that I got chatting to, and I was sort of complaining, oh, you know, I've come all this way and I'm not going to make any money from the gig, and I was just having a bit of a moan and a beer while I was waiting for the train. And as she was leaving, she shook my hand, and you know when in the movies they have a folded up note in the palm of their hand,
yeah.
When they're tipping like a bellboy or something, or you know, a concierge outside a hotel, I thought she was giving me money secretly because I was mourning about not being paid for the gig, and so my immediate reaction was to try and give it back to her. And in the process of trying to give it back to her, I realised it wasn't money. It was a note that she'd written me.
No.
Saying that she was no longer happy with the guy that she was with. And if we wanted to hook up, this was her mobile number.
Oh, my God.
But he saw this happening because...
Because you kept trying to push it back.
I thought she was trying to give me a £5 note rather than a night of unbridled passion.
Which would you rather?
Worth £5.
Worth £5.
After 2020, I would have taken the fiver.
Yeah. Oh, I know. We'd all have done gigs that we wouldn't have done, or doing things we wouldn't have taken a year or two ago. When I was on tour, what year was it now? 2019, I was on tour before it all stopped. Hopefully it'll come back. We were up in the northeast somewhere. Me and just my tour manager, that's all. There's only two of us at that point of the tour. Me and Simon, my tour manager, and we went back to a hotel. And it was like one of those, I don't know what it was, right? I don't know what chain of hotel it was, but it wasn't a posh one. It wasn't a country hotel, five star with a golf club. So it was, you know, it was a swimming pool. It was a inner city sort of, there was a vending machine in the lobby, one of those.
Travelodge.
Right? It was like a Travelodge or something. I don't know. It could have Premier Inn, Travelodge.
One of those, right?
One of those ones.
Come on.
Right. I was in the lobby. We got back at about, we went some food after the gig and stuff. Got back there about midnight. And in the lobby, there's a night porter type person sitting there bored. And then there was a whole family from the northeast pissed up in the lobby, right? And me and Simon, my tour manager, walk in, and most of them didn't say anything. One of them recognizes me, right? And he's like, I'm going to have to tell you. Yo, like, I'm seeing you on the telly. And then he starts calling all the others over, right? All this fucking gang
of
mates.
What are they doing in the lobby?
Oh. I don't know. They're pissed. They've been out.
I would have pushed the vending machine on top of him and then got him lifted.
They're trying to get, I don't know. They're trying to have a fucking Twix or something. Whole families here, right? Whole like generations of this family. They're all crowding around now. I don't fucking recognize it. You know, people get aggressive. They don't recognize you.
Yeah.
This happens so often where somebody comes up and goes, "Hey, look who it is. He's famous. He's off the TV." If somebody doesn't recognize you, they get really aggressive. They go, "I don't fucking know who he is. I don't fucking recognize it."
They get really defensive.
Yeah, they get really defensive. They don't recognize you.
They also change from Newcastle to Yorkshire.
It did. Yeah, yeah. But the last time it happened was in Yorkshire that somebody went, I don't fucking recognize him.
Back to the lobby.
Anyway, back to the lobby. So there's all these North Geordie types are all crowded round and they're going, I'm fucking on the TV. I'm like, and there's everyone, I don't fucking recognize him. I've never seen him before in my life. And I was like, well, it's not my problem. Don't blame me.
Don't
have a go at me because I'm not famous enough for you to recognize. And then one of them goes, he must be in his early 20s. He goes, "Yeah, I'm getting married in about 3 weeks. I'm getting married. Do you want to play my wedding?" Right? And, this is one of the people who didn't recognize me. Right? and I went, "Oh, no, I can't. I'm on tour. I'm really busy at the moment." He goes, £300. £300. You're playing my fucking wedding. £300. He's gone to Yorkshire again. I'm fucking playing my wedding for £300, and I was going, "No, I'm not doing it. I don't do weddings. I don't want to ruin your day." He's like, £300. Who the fuck do you think he is? £300. I'm offering him £300. Hey, John, come over here. I'm fucking in. Hey, Barry. And all of them crowding round now, fucking prodding me and pushing me because I wouldn't do his gig for I wouldn't play his wedding for £300. He's like, "Fucking £300? Who turns down £300 at this time of night? When are you going to get a better offer than that?" I was like, I haven't come here to get a fucking offer for a gig. I'm not standing in the lobby of this Travelodge looking for gigs. I know it's the best offer I'm going to get at half past 12 at night in a Travelodge lobby in fucking Sunderland, mate. I realise that. £300. He was so offended that I would not take £300. Who did I think I was? He didn't even recognize. I don't even recognize you. You would just abusing somebody in the lobby and then hoping they'll play your wedding 3 weeks later.
Also,
he'll only walk under the bridge by the time I get to the wedding. Seen.
Yeah, exactly. But also, his fiance would have been livid. "You've done what?" I've never heard of him.
It was on the recommendation of one of the party, one of the group who said I was on TV and I was quite good.
Yeah,
that this guy was like on trust, going, "All right, I'll give him £300 then." I was
on trust.
I wouldn't go to someone's wedding I didn't know for £300.
No. You were offered to go. No.
Well, just turn up at somebody's wedding you didn't know for £300.
Weddings are hard work.
You don't have to stay, Lloyd. Just take the money and go, don't you? What's the deal?
Weddings are hard work.
No, I don't mean you just turn up, you know, and get 300 notes off the priest and then jump the car.
It's like being in the House of Lords.
I mean, it's just, it's, The last one I was offered was £1,000. I said to the guy,
well, how come you got offered you... 700 quid more than me? Was yours in the lobby? Where was yours? Was yours in the travel lodges?
It was in Wales somewhere, and I was on my way to another gig, and I think it was through off the curb. They rung me up and they said, you can do this guy's wedding for £1,000. And I said, no. Tell him, like, if he wants to spend £1,000 to make his wedding better, put it behind the bar, like,
or a bouncy castle.
Oh my god, totally.
Or a chocolate fountain.
It's either Lloyd or a chocolate fountain. Which is the less hygienic?
Don't answer that.
Right then, on with the show. Our first frothy story, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
EastEnders star Nick Berry. 50. You remember Nick Berry, Lloyd?
Why do you?
Yeah, he was a star of Heartbeat, truly. Yeah.
Yes. Kisses EastEnders me. Before that, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the '80s.
EastEnders star Nick Berry, 57, looks unrecognisable as he sports a white beard and grey hair during a visit to the tip.
Right. What, is he in disguise? Is he fly tipping?
We'll find out. 18 years after quitting acting. I tell you what, this story's hot off the press, isn't it? This is a big story. Just 18 years after quitting, maybe waiting outside his house, the paps, for 18 years, yeah. He's finally gone to the tip. At last, the story, the big story they've been waiting for.
But what's his house like if it's only now he's going to the tip?
He must have been to the tip before, but maybe they just didn't get papped.
Yeah.
He's shot to fame.
He's managed to, like, give them the slip for 18 years.
they've documented the whole thing with photographs. That are absolutely amazing. I'll show you in a minute. We'll put them on the amazing, social media for the Froth Podcast social media.
Is it so because nightclubs are shut?
Is he taking stuff to the tip to drop off? Or is he going to the tip shop to see if he can grab himself a bargain?
No, we'll find out.
Lloyd, you can do both. We used to do both. Oh, yeah. As a family, as in me and my brother would go. Going to the tip was such a treat in our house.
I still quite like going
my
to
parents
tip.
Love it.
I still
my grandfather it. Got me the Millennium Falcon from the tip.
What?
What do you mean, Lloyd?
You know the Star Wars spaceship that
Everyone
Han
wanted.
Solo and what, Chewbacca.
He went to the tip and that was there sticking out of a...
No, the real one.
That was there sticking out of a thing, was it? Sticking out of one of those, sticking out of a container. It's like glass.
Rat. A rat just sitting on
Falcons.
It.
But... No, the toy. It was the toy one.
Obviously the toy
one.
Very popular.
It was really popular. What was it doing at the tip?
I don't know, but you got Star Wars men there as well, which were also
was he
really
did he
popular.
Get in the container? Did he like climb through the little hole on the front?
What are you talking about?
What the tip? You've never been to the tip. This is the problem.
I have been to the tip.
The tip. They've got big like skips and containers with a little hole to put your glass bottles through and stuff.
Nah, that only came in the late noughties. Before it was just a pile of rubbish. It was just a pile of landfill.
Yeah, it was like an open.
It was like an open tip. And then you just walked around like looking for TVs and stuff.
That's not a council tip. Just a big pile.
It was
of rubbish.
Back in my day. It was. So we used to walk around looking for like TVs and stuff.
All right.
It was a big hill of rubbish.
I'll let you off. Go on then.
It was ours was different. There were bays.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Different things in each bay. So you.
Yeah, we had that
it
as well.
Just a big mound, like a mountain.
Maybe
outside
I'm
the town.
Thinking. Hang on, I'm thinking of Heathcliff the cartoon.
You're
remember?
Thinking of Stig of the Dump.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
We did used to go though. Such a treat. A levels. I remember as a break, I would just go to the tip.
Fair enough.
It's Carmarthen.
Well, EastEnders star Nick Berry has been. He shot to fame after portraying Simon Wicks in EastEnders. That's right. And Sergeant Nick Rowan in Heartbeat in the 80s and 90s. And Nick Berry looked worlds away from his characters.
Why would you go to the tip just as a policeman from the 60s? Or a bartender? What are they doing?
I tell you
about?
What, that Heartbeat, that must be a dream job for an actor to play a character who has the same first name that you already have.
Dream job.
Is that the dream?
Do you think that's his audition, Lloyd? He'd be like, well, my name is Nick, so it makes sense.
Nick Berry looked worlds away from his characters as he cut a very casual figure during a trip to a tip in Essex on Tuesday.
Well, you would be casual going to the tip, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's very unusual that people get up formally dressed to go to the tip. Isn't it?
Well, yeah. You do make an effort.
I just need to find my cummerbund.
It is pictured on the red carpet. Nick Berry, look at this. Look at this for a brutal line, right? This is a brutal takedown by the journalist here. The former heartthrob. How to take somebody out in three words.
He's still all right.
The former heartthrob. He's still a very handsome... Looks like the former heartthrob.
Yeah, come on.
Imagine being described as a former heartthrob.
He's wearing purple trousers.
Be fair, he's not making like GQ's 50 sexiest men in the world anymore, is he, Nick Berry?
Actually,
if you look at this photo of him carrying like a large lamp that he's going to put in one of the miscellaneous things...
Does he look? Let's have a look.
I'll show you now. I'll come to it in a minute.
Carrying a large lamp.
Yeah, here we go.
He's already got romantic lighting.
There's a picture of him in Heartbeat as a policeman.
I can't see.
That's him. That's him.
Oh, he is nice there.
There's him. There's him taking a lamp to the tip.
Yeah, he's taking a big lamp.
Taking a big standard lamp. Big
he's still
lamp
nice. He's still. He's not a former heartthrob.
Well, that's what it says here. How to take somebody down in three words. The former heartthrob. Are you Nick Berry, a former heartthrob? Yeah, that's me. You've let yourself go. Yes, yes. I know. The former heartthrob, 57, was almost unrecognisable.
Almost.
As he sported a white beard and grey locks dropping off some old bits of furniture.
So hang on, did they follow him to the tip?
I don't know. I don't know.
They had a tip off.
Hey!
I think it's probably a member of the public with a phone. Everybody's a journalist these days. Nick, who made his last TV appearance in 2012 at the funeral of his on-screen EastEnders mother, Pat Butcher, looked relaxed in a khaki jacket and black jumper. God, they even comment on what you're wearing to the tip. There's no escape with it.
They comment on your state of mind. So he looks relaxed. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh my
God. He knows his way around the tip.
Look, imagine, he looks stressed to shit as he tried to work. Actually, the reality would be he looks stressed to shit as he tried to work out which fucking bin to put a big standard lamp in.
Is it
the electrics? Is it small appliances?
Has he got shouted at by a man who works in the little booth for not putting the electrics into the right place?
Oi, that goes in miscellaneous.
Oi, Nick Berry, former heartthrob. That's not where it goes.
Hey, Berry, you might have been a heartthrob 18 years ago when you last appeared on TV. You're nobody around you. This is my tip.
So did somebody sell these pictures to the press?
Yeah, they've gone to all of them. How much did they get?
I don't know.
How much would you get? How much you want for Nick Berry? I've got Nick Berry at the tip. Anyone?
Former heartthrob?
If it's 300 quid to get Rod to play your wedding... I reckon a picture of Nick Berry at the tip. What, 75 quid?
Really? 75.
How much would it be for me to go to the tip? That day, I could have played that person's wedding, stopped at the tip on the way back. Sean could have taken a picture of me. We could have made about 375 quid that day.
That's brilliant.
I hate to think how they'd describe me with that beard.
Yeah, good point. How would they describe you?
Not as a former heartthrob, do
Current heartthrob.
No. Heartthrob would not be
potential
mentioned.
Heart attack.
Potential heart attack. He insured...
Weren't you like seventh best looking man in Wales once?
No, I was first.
First?
Were you?
Yeah, 10 years ago. I'm a former heartthrob.
I was number like 30.
Before Richard Burton?
Yeah, 1 year.
Yeah, but he is dead, to be fair.
Yeah, but he's hot though. He is hot.
I know, but I'd be really disappointed if I lost to a corpse.
Dame Judy.
Even a former heartthrob.
Dame Shirley Bassey was ahead of me.
Yeah, but she still is more attractive.
Darling! She was 80. She was 80 yesterday, I think. Yeah, she is actually wonderful.
I know, but she'd get away with late 70s.
Have you seen her arms? She's incredible.
What did you say? She'd get away with late 70s.
Who is the current sexiest... Man and woman of Wales. I think they've stopped doing it
because it was off, like really kind of upsetting people.
Steve Jones has got to be up there.
I think they suddenly realised there weren't any attractive people from Wales.
It was getting ridiculous. And people were being let in for their personality.
Once I was number one, I think they decided that was enough. Enough was enough.
They stopped the competition.
They stopped it because they went, if this is what we're having to put at number one because of the lack of competition, let's just give it up.
They used to do a weird thing in the Swan's Evening Post. It was like, who's got the fittest baby? They must have stopped doing that now, surely.
Like, did they use the word fit?
Well, it was like
was that their words or yours, like?
The centre pages, you know, it was like once a year, was just like hundreds of profile photographs of babies with the names and the ages underneath.
Oh, God.
Saying, look how good looking these babies are. And then I think the readers voted. I think if you voted, you were probably added to some sort of register.
It was actually an armistice.
What, most of them are toddlers now. Some of them former heartthrob.
Oh, my gosh.
Former heartthrob, 7.
Imagine phoning up. Number 3, definitely.
My baby's really hot.
My baby's really hot. Take a photo. God.
Nick Berry ensured that to stay safe amid the UK's lockdown... he ensured he stayed safe by donning a face mask after getting out of his car.
Good for him.
They got all the details here, as well as sticking to all social distancing regulations.
Flipping.
He's not in any trouble. The former actor, who quit the profession in 2003 to be a stay-at-home dad, it's nice, was seen dropping off 2 large bags.
Right.
Nick had a stellar acting career on British television, but stepped away from the screen aged 39 to raise his 2 sons. After springing to fame as Simon Wicks in EastEnders in 1985, Berry left in 1990 and decamped to the Yorkshire Dales for a 6-year stint as Heartbeat Sergeant Nick Rowan. I've never seen Heartbeat. Before taking on the role of Harbour Master Mike Nichols in Harbour Lights. Anyone remember that?
No, I didn't see that.
No.
No.
He reached heartthrob status with hordes of screaming fans besieging the BBC studios where the soap was filmed. I tell you what, the tip is very quiet by comparison if you look at the pictures.
Sounds like he had a good clear out.
There's one bloke in the booth, but he's doing a crossword.
No, he's shouting at him.
He's clapping him. There was even a brief pop career too.
Yeah, I remember that actually.
Every loser wins.
I don't remember the song. Oh, that he sang that today.
Fate holds the key.
Oh, nice. There was even a brief pop career too. In 1986, Berry released a single, Every Loser Wins.
Was he in a white shirt and Soft Focus?
Yeah.
Is that hit? Right, okay.
Definitely Soft Focus.
Soft Focus.
Which became the
you
second...
You never wear a white shirt to the tip.
It became the second biggest selling record in the UK that year.
Ooh, really?
Hot.
Yeah. Save for filming.
What year was this?
Let's have a look.
80.
Do you remember Anita Dobson released the EastEnders theme tune?
Yeah.
But anyone can fall in love.
Aww.
That's the easy part. It ain't all that clever. Any.
Are they the real words?
Yeah.
1986. So
he had the second highest selling song in the UK in 1986.
Yeah.
Hang on, though. Wasn't the Birdie song like number one? So that's the that's the standard.
I'm going to go for, what was the highest seller? I'm going to go for, not Sledgehammer, but that was 86.
Was it?
Yeah.
Tapau?
Bangles.
Tapau was 85, I think. Was it China in My Hand? We're on to pop trivia. Let's get back to Nick.
I'm having a look now.
Barry, have a look. Producing.
But bearing in mind...
on Zoom, producing.
What was it? We were laughing the other day about... how Northern Soul and stuff, and also how in the North, like say 1990, where things like Stone Roses and really brilliant music was like taking over, and in where we were from, it was still the Birdie song. It was like, you know what I mean? And like Hacienda.
While Manchester was rocking with the Hacienda and rave scene,
really cool
and
music.
And Stone Roses in Carmarthen.
No, that was later. That was the year 2000.
The dance floor was packed.
And people like passing a balloon in between their knees.
Super cock.
Oh, well.
Okay, I'll just quickly give you the
great time we had.
The rundown from 5 to 1 of the best-selling songs of 1986. At number 5 is Chain Reaction by
Adele. Oh, amazing. Love
a chain reaction. Next.
Number 4, Cliff Richard and the Young Ones, Living Doll.
Oh, yes. Got myself a working doll. When? Oh, yeah, the Young Ones.
That's a quick impression of Lloyd singing Living Doll. Living Doll.
Number 3, and I'd forgotten about this song, Boris Gardner's I Wanna Wake Up With You. Remember that song?
I don't remember that.
Wanna wake that was number 3. I can't remember anything else about it, but I wanna
wake up. I wanna be there when you're by my side. Oh. I want all you to be the night. First thing that I see.
I don't remember that at all.
I wanna wake up with you. Number 2.
Was Nick Berry number 1?
As we know, it was Nick Berry.
Oh, right, Nick
Berry.
Every
loser wins.
Every loser wins.
Number 1, best-selling single of 1986 in the United Kingdom was...
Belinda Carlisle.
Wham.
No, it was the Communards with Don't Leave Me
This
Way.
Oh, I love that song.
Leave me this way. I can't survive. I can't stay alive without your love.
Such a good song.
But don't leave me this world. Baby! My heart is full of love and it's not for you. How long do what you gotta do?
Yeah. Anyway,
that's the chops.
Back to Nick Berry.
Okay.
At one point.
Oh, here we go. Was he trying to scam the amount on the Weybridge, was he?
Did he kick?
At one point, he was rumoured to have been offered, it's Nick Berry, a £2 million golden handcuffs deal by EastEnders executives.
I thought you were going to say a fiver for the lamp.
At one point, he was rumoured to be offered a £2 million golden handcuff deal by EastEnders.
I thought you were going to say the Masons.
No.
Golden handcuffs. Like, what are they
golden,
up to?
You know what a golden handcuff deal is?
No. Hang on. You're tied to the show until you die.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, or till the end of a contract, whichever comes sooner.
Right, okay. Is that what Ian Beale has got?
Ant and Dec have got that with ITV, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Sort of like life imprisonment in light entertainment.
And they try and judge it up
but
a
for
bit by saying it's
quid.
Gold.
or something, allegedly. Don't know. Yeah.
But is that what Ian Beale has?
Ian Beale?
Yeah. He's been in it since he was 16, hasn't he, or something?
Adam Woodyatt.
Yeah.
He has been in it for a long time. Speaking to the Daily Mail in 2011.
Why?
Speaking of the Daily Hate in 2011 about his decision to step away from the spotlight, Nick said, I chose to be a stay-at-home dad and have loved it. I always said that when the boys were teenagers, I could go back, but the longer you don't do something, the harder it is to do it. That is true of everything except going to the toilet. Bit of advice. The longer you don't do something, the harder it is to do it. And I haven't really missed it. There you go. And there's a picture of him with a lamp again. I mean, they put that in
he
twice.
He seems like an absolutely top class bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
And socially distancing, wearing his mask, didn't take the golden handcuffs. He brought up his 2 kids, stay at home dad. He takes his stuff to the tip responsibly, doesn't fly tip. I mean, what?
He could have
How
put
could
that
he be
lamp,
a better man?
He could have thrown that lamp in a river.
Or put it on, signed it and put it on eBay.
Signed lamp. Former
heartthrob. Former heartthrob. Nick Berry selling lamp.
He gave me this 40 watt lamp.
Needs plug.
That needs rewiring because it's
bulb and plug not supplied. It says here the former actor. I mean, this is the kind of detail you want in a news report, in a frothy news story. This is the sort of detail you want. The former actor took off his mask as he stepped towards the boot of his car. It's like a Dan Brown novel now.
Yeah, it is actually. It really is.
Is it? Then he's talking, I don't know whether he said this at the boot of his car, whether he turned around and said, well, I'd never say never. I'm genuinely happy as I am. So he takes off his mask, walks around to the boot of his car, and in the middle of the tip, just shouts to nobody, well, I'd never say never, but I'm genuinely happy as I am.
No one's asking
I'm revising
Nick.
I'm revising my opinion of him now.
he's gone
crazy and he's having a conversation with a lamp.
The job was great, he said. You'd driven everywhere,
What's he talking about now? EastEnders?
I presume he means In the Spotlight, yeah.
Right.
So Heartbeat, EastEnders.
Right. You're Driven Everywhere.
Number two selling single.
Harbour Lights.
Harbour Lights. The job was great. You're driven everywhere. Fed every 5 minutes. That's too much.
Hang on. No, that's pate.
Yeah, that's a foie gras goose. I think he's mistaken himself for that.
Nick.
Yeah, they ram it down you with a wooden spoon. Yeah, he's definitely got.
Nick, I think I'm not sure this is acting anymore.
You're driven everywhere, fed every 5 minutes, and told what to do and where to go. What I struggled with was that the boys were very young, and I felt like I was away filming all the time. Fair play.
True.
I'd been blessed with these little people, I presume that's his kids, and yet, and that were all the production team on EastEnders are quite short. I've been blessed with these little people, and yet I wasn't really there. I realised I wanted to be at home. Fair play, Nick. Despite his spectacular screen success, East London-born Berry said he wasn't a natural actor. I was never that comfortable in the spotlight. Some of the egos you can do without. A lot of actors take themselves so seriously, but by and large, you're getting paid to show off.
Ooh.
I tell you what, I rather like former heartthrob Nick Berry.
I like Nick Berry.
I do.
Get him on the phone, Barry.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think we should try.
Let's get him on the phone, I reckon. Oh, no, he doesn't want the spotlight. Actually, this podcast's perfect.
Exactly. Under the radar. Under the radar.
He gets more attention. Go to the tip.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's another frothy story for you. If that one wasn't frothy enough, try this out. Human foot in Gateshead Field turns out to be a potato.
Right.
I love it. It's a nice headline, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's a good, you know, it's a happy ending.
It's a good headline.
Yeah.
Human foot in Gateshead Field turns out to be a potato. A suspected human foot buried in a muddy field, turned out to be a potato. After a large-scale police search.
Oh, dear.
I mean, arguably, it could have been solved by just reaching down and picking it up. And going, oh, look, it's a potato.
Or just having a look and going, that's a potato.
Having a closer look, yeah.
You know that foot you found in the field of potatoes?
Yeah.
It's a potato.
Yeah. This story should be, closer look reveals potato.
You just need one cop and a trowel.
You don't even need a trowel. It's sticking out, mate.
And they don't need to be a cop.
They don't need to be a cop.
I guess, yeah, the actual field owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not a foot. I don't grow feet.
A suspected human foot. I don't grow feet. Is that a foot or a potato? Hang on a minute. What did I plant?
I mean, it was quite some time ago, and I was having a bit of a hard time.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it was potatoes.
Was it human feet? So, or was it potato seeds?
Also, I mean, if you were disposing of a body,
yeah,
you know, you're supposed to put them like 6 foot under, aren't you? You're not supposed to leave.
Yeah, but what if you bury them upside? What if you dig it? What if you dig it vertically? You go down 6 foot, but they're 6 foot tall. They're 6 foot one, and you do it vertically. Down. You could easily just have a big toe sticking out the top.
I'd put a mound of earth on it,
make it look like a mole. Lloyd. You've thought of everything. Yeah. You've thought of everything, Lloyd, about how to bury a 6 foot person in a 6 foot hole.
Yeah,
little mole hill on the top.
That'd be very suspicious. That is a really good idea. Disguise it as a mole hill. If there was a little mole hill, you'd be like, "Hang on, Lloyd's buried something."
It's either that or a mole. A suspected human foot buried in a muddy field turned out to be a potato after a large-scale police search. A dog walker in Gateshead, that's up in the northeast, isn't it? Sent officers.
You can do your accent again.
I can do my accent again. Yeah, what the fuck is that like? Yeah. Is that a potato or a human?
So bad. That will get you.
What did I plant there now? Did I plant your own feet? Was it?
What did I plant there now?
A dog walker in Gateshead sent officers a photograph of what appeared to be a toe poking out of the soil. I mean, it's one thing, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing to take a picture of Nick Berry at a tip if you're a member of the public. Take a picture of a potato sticking out and send it to the police going, I think it's a human toe. A dog walker in Gateshead.
You're not allowed. I mean,
you are allowed to photograph potatoes, right?
But I don't think you're not allowed to take your dog onto the beach for certain months of the year. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to walk your dog through a potato field.
True. Good point.
A dog walker.
If I found what I thought was a little toe poking out of the soil when I was trespassing in a potato field,
yeah, I wouldn't mention it.
I'd scoop some of the earth away.
But then your fingerprints are on a dead body, Lloyd. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, but I'm not going to report my own murder, am I?
No, but you're not the murderer. You're walking along in a field with your dog, right?
Yes.
And then you stumble across, you think, what's that? A human foot. I don't think you would reach down and brush the dirt off it enough, would you? Because then your fingerprints are all over a potential...
No, Well, you think I'm potentially then contaminated? You're going to be free.
Of course, yeah. You're potentially contaminated. If you brush the dirt off a human foot, of course that's good. Unless you've got one of those forensic CSI brushes, or you've got your archaeology for dummies kit with you in your back pocket.
Archaeology for dummies kit.
What I would use, use the fronds from a nearby carrot.
That'd be in a different field, though, surely.
Yeah, it's in a different field, two fields down.
Well, I just think...
use the fronds of a nearby carrot.
Yeah. Why would you... a natural forensic duster to
Lloyd,
clear...
Why aren't people using this in the CID? Why aren't people using this? Imagine there's a cop who keeps using veg.
I'm talking about improvising at the scene.
I see.
You know, like Ray Mears.
Yes. Okay.
I got broken into one time and the police came round to take fingerprints, and this was years and years ago, and my flatmate, we were both comedians, and someone had given us a little bag of, don't try this at home, folks, a little bag of, marijuana is no other way of saying it, right? And the police...
There's loads of other ways of saying it.
Yeah,
weed.
Yeah, actually, pots, grass. Pot, yeah,
grass,
yeah.
Green.
Wacky backy. Yeah.
So they're doing fingerprints, and I presume they'd nicked everything, so I presume they'd taken that as well. And actually, it was just sat there. It was really rubbish, sort of homegrown weed someone had given us. And the police...
How do you know it was rubbish?
Someone told me.
This is rubbish weed.
The police came in. They went, do you know what this is? Is this yours? And I went, no. And they went, okay, well, we'll send this off for fingerprints. It must be theirs. They must have left it here. And I'm like, oh, shit. So the woman's in the bedroom doing that fingerprints of where they came in through the window. And I walk in there and I see the bag behind her. And I quickly walk in, I pick the bag up and I go, do you know what this is? She goes, don't touch it. Oh, sorry. The fingerprints are over. Put it back down again.
I go back,
and the police says there's the woman doing the scene of crime doing the fingerprints.
Was she using a carrot front, just to be clear?
she was
using a carrot and dusting for.
Did she have a little trolley full of veg?
Carrot front. And he came and he said, is this yours? And I said, no, it's not. He said, look, if it is, it doesn't matter. Just tell me, because otherwise we're going to waste time. The finger went, and I'm thinking, oh, what do I say here? And I'm like, no, it's not mine. And then I went, hang on a minute. Let me just call my flatmate, right? And I pretended to call my flatmate. I went, hello, mate, it's me. Yeah. I said, yeah, I've got the police here at the moment. They just found what, I don't know, it appears to be some sort of like grass.
So it's like a plant in a bag.
Oh, it is. All right. Thanks a lot. All right, cheers. I said, yeah, it's his.
It's his name is so-and-so and he lives here. This is...
Yeah. Imagine if the phone had a ring while I was on the phone. Pretending to have a phone call to the police.
If they had said, we'll just wait here until he gets back then. Yeah, like...
You've got to worry about the competence of the police, and they didn't even notice you hadn't made a phone call. You were acting.
and he gave it back. They gave it back.
Really?
And yeah. They didn't notice that giant bong you were hiding me on your back.
A dog walker in Gateshead. Okay. So she's found a toe sticking out. She sent a photograph to the police of a toe poking out the sock. After carrying out the search in the dark with specialist dogs.
Why the... Oh, right, okay.
Because in the dark.
That's why it took so long.
They've got to have dogs
then.
That can see in the dark. They stopped off in the carrot field.
But if it had been in the day, they'd have gone, no, it's a potato. Library photo.
They could have waited until daybreak. I mean, if it was a fuck, it wasn't going anywhere, was it?
Yeah, as opposed to a potato.
Which one is it?
Which could have made off under the cover of darkness.
Depends where the harvest is.
After carrying out the search in the dark with specialist dogs, officers discovered it was a potato.
Well, there we are.
Look at this, with a mushroom growing next to it.
Oh, is that what it is?
It doesn't mention, the person dog walker didn't mention the mushroom.
No, she just thought it was a toe.
So it was a toe with a mushroom growing next to it. Police praised the woman for her vigilance.
Really?
Said the call had been made in good faith. Northumbria police said the photograph sent on Tuesday when the woman had returned home from her walk in the Winleton area did show what appeared to be a human foot. Inspector Phil Hamlani said the person who called this in was very concerned, and in the picture she sent us, the object did look like it could be human remains. It was already dark by the time we got a call, and so we had to deploy search teams to track down the scene to rule out any foul play. The search team did have a chuckle when they realised it was a potato. But the call was made in good faith, and we can only praise the vigilance of the woman who made the call. He urged anyone who finds themselves in a similar situation...
Good to know.
Yeah. What should we do?
And she found a nearby carrot and went back to the police and said someone's murdered a snowman.
Yes, anyone who finds themselves in a similar situation. Can you imagine walking?
Tell you what.
I'll be walking with Rosie tomorrow. Hang on a minute. I saw a story about this. that does look like a human thing stick. Oh no, it's a potato. If it does turn out to be a vegetable,
what should you do?
You urged anyone who finds themselves in a similar situation to call the police, adding, if it does turn out to be a vegetable, our police dogs will thank you for the treat.
Oh, they eat veg, do they?
They're not supposed to eat raw potatoes, dogs. It's poisonous.
Yeah. Well, nobody is.
Next story. Police dog dies after eating. right, those are your two frothy stories. Nick Berry goes to the tip.
Yeah.
With a lamp.
Yeah.
Looking worlds away from the heartthrob of yesteryear.
I think that's quite a big news story, though.
Do you?
If I saw him at the tip, I'd be like, wow.
Well, maybe then in that case, you will go for the other story, which was the human toe, which wasn't.
I think that's the least...
newsworthy.
Yeah.
The frothiest.
Yeah.
The frothier.
Yeah, the frothier of the
So you're picking that for Froth of the Week, FOTW?
Yeah, because Nick going to the tip is quite a big deal.
Fair enough. Potato gets it. Yeah. Congratulations, Potato. Right, Lloyd, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Take care down under.
Thanks. I'm going to go and see if I have any superfluous lamps that I can take to the tip.
All right, there he goes. Ex-heartthrob, former heartthrob, Lloyd Langford.
No, very much current heartthrob.
not with that haircut, he's not.
Oh, it'll grow.
When his hair grows back, he might be a heartthrob again. For now,
G.I. Lloyd.
He looks like a squaddy. All right, Lloyd, take care. See you soon.
Bye, love.
Bye, guys.
Right, that's all we've got time for.
Thanks for listening.
And thanks to special guest Lloyd Langford and the amazing Josh Phillips, creator of the new Froth theme tune with brass by Johnny Thirkel.
And don't forget, you can contact us at The Froth Podcast, where you'll get extra frothy content, including unseen bits and exclusive behind-the-scenes videos. And don't forget the exciting new email facility. Our email address is hello@thefrothpodcast.com.
And if you enjoyed this nonsense, don't forget to like and subscribe. Rate us at 5 stars. Spread the word. Tell your friends. This podcast was a Llanbobble Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.